All that we see or seem is but a dream within a dream. A quote by Edgar Allan Poe. The ontological status of reality is identical to that of a dream. So think about the dream that you had last night and ask yourself, what was the substance of that dream? Where did that dream go? What was it made out of? Whatever that dream was made out of is exactly what this thing that you call reality right now, this very moment, is made out of. It's made out of the exact same stuff. Dream stuff. But people can't appreciate this because they've got the materialist paradigm running in the back of their mind, this conceptual matrix, which tells them that, oh, well, those are just dreams. Last night's dreams when I was sleeping, those are just mere dreams, activity in the brain, neurons firing away, weird stuff going on while my body is resting. That's not how it works at all. That's completely backwards. There is no such thing as the brain. The brain is a dream. Right now, it's happening here. Where have you ever seen a brain? Here in this dream. The world. What is the world? Where have you ever encountered a world but in this dream? What is the world other than the dream of you right now? That's what you call the world. The dreams that happen to you when you are sleeping at night, those are not couched within a physical brain or a physical world the way that you think. They're not occurring in a physical body. This is a deep confusion that people have because they're operating under the materialist paradigm, which completely dismisses dreams. And it draws some kind of firm distinction between the sleeping dream world and the waking dream world. There is no such distinction. It's all one dream. That's what reality is about. That's what your life is. Your life is a dream. Your life as a whole, from the moment you were born to right now to when you're going to die, it's just one dream. But of course, you don't think of it that way. Precisely because you've defined reality against the dreams that you have when you're sleeping. But this is a mistake. Stop thinking of reality as a mechanical physical system. That's not how it is. What reality is a dream machine. It's just dreams. It's just consciousness. That's why it's appropriate to call it a dream. And to call reality a dream is the most accurate metaphor that I have encountered so far. It's actually one of the simplest also. If you want to talk to people about spirituality or non-duality or about enlightenment, you can give them all sorts of fancy theories and all this, but the simplest way is just to say it's a dream. Your whole life is a dream and you can awaken from this dream in exactly the same way as you can awaken from last night's dream. There's nothing physical about this thing. All this stuff, this is not physical. This is a dream. It's happening in a dream machine. This dream machine, which can otherwise be called God, can dream up whatever it wants. It's an infinite dream. Right now, right this very moment, as God is dreaming your life, it's also dreaming that it's being Napoleon. It's dreaming that it's being Julius Caesar. Right now, it's dreaming that it's a monkey in some rainforest. Right now, it's dreaming that it's all the ants on this planet, trillions of them, each one individually a dream unto itself. It's dreaming that it's a tree, every single tree on this planet, and every single tree that exists across the entire universe. It's dreaming that it's an alien on some other planet far, far away. Not only that, but is dreaming that it's being some other kind of being that you can't even imagine or conceive of in some alternative universe, some alternative dimension, which bears no resemblance to our own, doesn't have three dimensions, doesn't have time, doesn't have space, doesn't have energy or matter or anything like that. And whatever it's got there, it's got there. And whoever lives there, lives there. And whoever's conscious there is this very same thing. It's dreams. That's what reality is. It's not made of molecules. It's consciousness. Not only is it dreams, it's every possible dream that could be dreamed happening all simultaneously. That's what infinity means. Right now, what's happening right this moment is a dream. Can you see it? I'm talking to you from within your dream. Hello in there. Hello. Wake up. Become conscious right now that you're in the dream. This is it. This is the dream. Yes, it feels very real. That's because you're so absorbed with living that you've forgotten that you're inside of a dream. Just in the exact same way as happens at night. You're so engrossed in whatever is happening in your nighttime dreams that you forget. Until what? Until you wake up. Until the dream comes to an end. And what happens is that you break out of one dream to enter the next level or the next order of dream. Likewise, it's very difficult for you to see that you're in a dream right now, the waking dream, because you've never broken out of this dream yet to realize, oh, this was just all a dream. It was just a figment of consciousness. Because you feel that your fears are very real. You feel like within this waking dream, there's actually something real to be lost and something real to be gained. So you're very busy running around, doing stuff, living, but not seeing that all of that activity is couched inside of the dream. And the only reason it has any kind of meaning is because it's relative to and within the domain of the dream. Outside of the dream, it has no meaning, it has no existence, it has no reality, it has no purpose, and it has no importance whatsoever. Your life has no importance. No more importance than last night's dream really had. It's an interesting experience for its own sake, but beyond that, what is there? What was the substance of last night's dream? It's gone. It's nothing. It was just a figment of the mind. Now you might wonder, but where does this mind take place? Doesn't it need to take place in a brain? No, it doesn't. See, the problem is that your conventional understanding of dream only makes sense in the materialist paradigm because you have defined dreaming as something that occurs within brains. That's the key mistake. What you need to do is separate that out such that you acknowledge that, yes, you dream at night, but then you dream during the day too. And that, in fact, the brain is part of this dream right here during the day. The nighttime dreams don't occur within the daytime dreams. These are two separate dreams. One is running, the other one is off. Now this one's running, that one is off. And then at some point, even this one will come off. All of them will come off. All sorts of dreams are possible. Materialism itself is occurring within the waking dream. I've talked about René Descartes before and how he was a pivotal figure for Western philosophy, and a lot of modern philosophy is based upon Descartes' work, and specifically Descartes' skepticism. And his skepticism was quite powerful, although not powerful enough, as I've mentioned before. And one of his doubts was the evil demon doubt. I've talked about that before. But here I want to talk about a second doubt that he had, because he was interested in establishing a firm foundation for all of Western intellectual tradition, including mathematics, science, and also his Christian morality and his Christian worldview. So he needed to base that on certain facts and certain knowledge about the world. But the way he decided to do that is first just wipe the slate clean with a bunch of skepticism, just radical skepticism. And one of the things he was skeptical about is, how do we distinguish dreaming from reality? How do we know that we're not dreaming right now? And although he put that skeptical idea out there in his work, The Meditations, it was never really taken seriously even by himself. In the end, because Descartes was a foundationalist and he really wanted to ground human knowledge into some absolute standard that was indubitable, he had to do away with the very skeptical considerations that he brought forth in the very beginning. And the most unsatisfying part of Descartes' work is that he just hand-waved away a lot of these very otherwise serious and important doubts. So in the end, in his work, basically what he said is, he said, well, we can just basically intuit or feel the difference between being in a dream and being in reality. Dreams are kind of murky and they're kind of hazy and dark, whereas reality is bright and crisp and very solid. So you clearly know that when you're in reality here in this waking dream, that you're not actually in the sleeping dream. But here was Descartes' great mistake, because in fact, you actually cannot intuit such a thing. How could you? Your intuition is based upon your experience within a certain framework, within a certain environment. Without having had experience in that environment, you have no possible intuitions. And when we're talking about intuitions that are related to only one environment, like in one dream, you have no contrasting environment, no serious alternative, which you can use as a foil to feel this difference, which is precisely why it's so remarkable that when you're asleep at night and you're having some crazy ass dream and all sorts of outlandish things are happening in this dream, and then you wake up and then you're like, whoa, how could I have not known that was a dream? I mean, I was like flying around and there were like space kangaroos and they're like all sorts of weird stuff was happening. And like I was in this room one moment, then the next moment I'm some other place, like all this crazy outlandish stuff. I should have been able to know that was a dream. And yet I was completely bought into it. Why is that? Precisely because the only way the human mind can distinguish these things is if it experiences first one and then the other. If it's only stuck in one, that one literally defines what reality is. Do you see? You see what the problem of reality is? It's not that there is some one thing which is the reality. It's basically just whatever you take it to be, that's what it becomes, due to lack of alternatives. Dreams are actually very valuable. I'm talking about nighttime dreams. And I think that actually you should start taking your nighttime dreams much more seriously, rather than just dismissing them as, oh, mere dreams, mere silly nonsense, crazy stuff going on, mere fantasies. Start to take them more seriously, because they will reveal important existential truths about this waking dream that you're in. You're going to see glitches in the matrix once you start to pay attention to your nighttime dreams, because then you're also going to carry them forward here and you're going to start to question this waking reality more than you used to. You're not going to take it for granted the way that the materialist paradigm does. See, the materialist paradigm has a vested interest in dismissing the importance of dreams, because the materialist paradigm wants to define materialism as this stuff here, the physical world here. And it needs to have no alternatives to that. So what it says, well, this here is reality. This is where physics applies. This is where we do science. This is where all the serious, important work gets done. And then in dreams, those are fantasies and silly things. And those are actually happening within the real reality. You see the trick that's being played here? one dream is being couched within the other. For good reason, because that's how grounding is done. Grounding is always done through a sort of sleight of hand, because in fact, there is no ground. Where are these dreams occurring, you might ask? Nowhere. They're not happening within any mechanical system, as you might assume. Now you might say, well, Leo, that's impossible, that seems crazy. But then again, why would you assume reality is mechanical? How is mechanical possible? How is physical possible? It's just as absurd. The only reason that you think that dreams have to be inside of some mechanical system, like inside of a computer simulation or something, or inside of a matrix, or inside of a brain in a vat, or the human brain, for that matter, is because you're just accustomed to thinking of reality as being mechanical. That's just something you assumed from the very beginning. You never really questioned it because it sort of seemed obvious to you because your culture just told you so, and because you just believed it because in this dream that we're in right now, this waking dream, we have mechanical objects, and it seems that we can learn about mechanics and we can use them mechanically. But then again, the same thing happens within your nighttime dreams. Your nighttime dreams are very mechanical on the inside. There's a lot of rules and limitations within those dreams. You can't literally do everything you want. So it's really just a matter of convention. It's a matter of what are you comfortable with? See, a lot of people are comfortable with thinking of reality as a physical system, but they're very uncomfortable with thinking of reality as a dream machine without the machine part, because they want the machine. Leo, where's the machine? Everything's a machine. We're used to thinking of reality and all our little gadgets and stuff as machines. The clockwork universe, as talked about by Newton. This is just a story. There's no such thing as a clockwork universe. There's a dream universe. And the clockwork universe is just one of the types of dreams that there could be. Here are some things to notice about your dreams. Firstly, notice that they feel very, very real when they are happening. Just like real life. It feels very real, but only when it's happening. Now, the trick here is, of course, that you haven't exited real life yet, and you don't believe that even such a thing is possible for many people. That's completely outside their paradigm. But it is possible to exit what you call real life and to discover that actually it's also just a dream. So this feeling of it feels real doesn't cut it. You can't use that to distinguish between dreams because all dreams feel real when you're inside of them. The only time you could say something is unreal is after you've exited it. So be very careful about relying on your intuitions here to make this distinction the way that Descartes did, because if you do, you're going to delude yourself. Secondly, notice about your dreams that they have their own internal self-consistent logic. And this is a thing that a lot of scientifically minded, rationally minded, materialist type people get confused about very easily. Because the key argument they make against what I'm saying is, hey, Leo, there's no way that this right here could be a dream. Look how real it is. Look how consistent and logical it is. Look, I can do some math equations and I can figure out that if I throw up this rock, it's going to take 2.5 seconds to fall back down in my hand. And look, we can build this rocket ship and launch it to the moon. And that proves that it's not a dream. But of course, this is the most absurd circular logic that you've ever heard. Because if you just apply that same standard to your dreams when you're sleeping, you'll see that they meet all of that criteria as well. They're completely self-consistent, but using a different rule set. So for example, you might be dreaming while you're sleeping, and there maybe a bear is attacking you, and you're a hunter, so you pick up a rifle and you shoot the bear between the eyes to defend yourself. And your heart is pounding because the bear is just about to pounce on you. It's like, ah! It's pouncing on you, it's going to tear you to pieces. But you shoot it right between the eyes. And you defend your family. Okay, and then you feel a sense of victory. So what happened in this dream? How is it that you were afraid of this bear? It's a dream after all. Why be afraid of a bear if it's just a dream bear? And yet you're afraid. And how is it possible that a dream gun, you can pick up a dream gun, shoot a dream bullet into between the eyes of a bear who's also a dream bear and kill the dream bear? Why not? Why isn't it not the case that the bullet just like, because it's a dream bullet, why doesn't the bullet just like fly through the bear and not kill it? Because your dream has its own internal, self-consistent logic to it. And now you might say, oh, Leo, but I've had dreams that were kind of crazy and wacky, where weird stuff was happening, and it didn't obey the laws of physics the way you're suggesting with this bear. And that's correct. Because, see, dreams can have different rule sets. They can have different self-consistent logics. That's the whole point of a dream, is that what defines the dream is the rule set. And there are different possible rule sets. Don't assume that for something to be a dream, it has to have some crazy rule sets, like where bears have wings and they fly around and there are unicorns and there are elves and there are weird stuff like that going on. I mean, of course, you could have dreams like that. But even in those dreams, notice it's not completely random. There's still a logic to it. Even in those dreams where like you're able to fly. Or maybe you're dreaming that the bear grows wings and it flies after you and chases your family. That could happen. And maybe you get your family into an airplane. You're flying away from this bear and the bear is chasing you and it's flying after you and it's biting at your airplane's tail. Yeah, that could happen. That might seem like, well, Leo, that's not reality. That's just made up fantasy. Yes, but there's still rules, you see. Because when the bear is biting at the tail of your airplane, well, the rules of that scenario are that still it can bite through your airplane. It can knock down your airplane. If it knocks down your airplane, if it ruins your propeller or something, then the airplane's going to crash to the ground. So in your dream there, you've got gravity, or you're assuming that kind of sense of gravity. Now, maybe the gravity is different than it is on Earth, but still you've got something like that going on. Or maybe you're dreaming that you're in a Earth environment that has no gravity. Well, then those are the rules of the dream, you see. And still, you still assume that you can kill the bear or that the bear is going to kill you. There's a reason you're running away from the bear in the first place. There's a reason why you're protecting your family. After all, why protect a dream family from a dream bear in a dream airplane on a dream Earth? Because it's all defined in terms of itself, you see. It's like a story, a self-consistent story. In the same way, when you're watching a movie, you might wonder, well, but why are the characters taking this scenario so seriously? Because, like, don't they know that they're inside of a movie? So why should they fight so hard with the bad guy when he knows that it is just a movie? But, I mean, that's to confuse two totally different levels of reality. See, of course, the characters in the movie are pretending like it's real because that's the level of reality that they're at. Here's another example. Have you ever had a dream where you lose your pants? Maybe you're standing up in front of a class and you're giving a speech or something like that. And then your pants fall down and then, well, you're rather embarrassed. Why are you embarrassed? After all, it's just a dream. So what harm could come from your pants falling down? You could just walk around with your pants down. Ah, see, but you can't. Because in a dream, you care. You care about your self-image. You care about your reputation in the dream. Just like you do in this waking dream. You might wonder, why do you care about walking around with your dick hanging out in the middle of the sidewalk or the crosswalk? Why is that a problem? Why would that embarrass you in real life? Now you might say, well, Leo, that's because, man, you know, real life is, the cops will come, they'll arrest me, they'll give me a ticket for public exposure and indecency, they'll throw me in jail, and that will ruin my reputation, and someone will take a video of it and post it on YouTube, and that'll embarrass me, and that'll ruin my chances to get a job, and then I won't make good money, I won't be able to provide for my family, and yada, yada, yada. So you got this whole story built up, why it embarrasses you. Right. Yeah. Exactly the same as in one of your dreams when you're asleep. It's a self-consistent story defined against itself. All the punishments and threats are always within the dream. And ultimately, the biggest threat to you in this waking dream is of it ending, which is what you call death, which you work very hard to avoid. You see how this works? You see how tricky this is? Don't underestimate these mechanisms. This here is how reality gets created. We're not talking about fantasy here. We're talking about how reality gets created. Here's another example of self-consistent logic. Inside of a dream, maybe you're haunted house and you're being chased by a ghost or something. And you're running away, and you're trying to get out the front door, but the front door is locked and it's jammed. And you're turning the handle and you're finagling it, and it's just locked. And you can't get out. So what is that? I mean, you would think that, well, if it's a dream, couldn't you just, like, fly through the door? Because the door's not solid. I mean, what is a door really made out of inside of a dream? It's just an idea. So it's not solid. So you would think you could just, like, vaporize the door with your mind and walk through. But of course, that's not how dreams work. They have limitations. There's a rule set at work. And so in that particular dream, the rule set might be that you got to find a key to unlock the door. Or maybe the rule set is that you've got super powerful fists so you can actually punch through the door. But then you still got to remember to use your fists. And that still takes time. So maybe the ghost will catch up to you while you're punching through that door with your Hulk-like fists. Or whatever other superpower you have. Just because you can imagine having a superpower to dream doesn't mean really anything. That doesn't mean it's unreal. That's just that rule set. How about inside of a dream, if you take a knife and you cut open your stomach, what will you see in there? Is it going to be just empty? Maybe, depending on the rules of that dream. Or, more likely, is that you'll actually imagine that you cut open your stomach and your guts spill out, and it's painful, and you're suffering, and blood is squirting everywhere, just like in real life. And in a dream, you might take a saw and cut open your skull. And you might feel around, you might take a mirror and look inside, and you could see the brain in the dream. But does that mean, if you see that brain in your skull inside your dream, does that mean that that brain is creating the dream? No, of course not. You see, this is to confuse the contents of the dream for the dream itself. And this is precisely the same thing that materialists do with this waking dream. So when I say something radical like the brain doesn't exist, many people say, oh my God, Leo, that's crazy, that's ridiculous, what have you been smoking? No, just think through the logic of it. It's very, very simple. This here is your dream. You cut open your skull. Yes, of course, there's some pink squishy substance inside. You can feel it, you can screw around with it. But does that mean that it is causing this whole thing? No, of course not. Now, here's where materialists get really tricky, and they say, oh, Leo, but if I take some instrument and I poke around in there, or some neuroscientist pokes around in there, then I'll start to hallucinate weird stuff. My perceptual systems will all change, and stuff will get very weird. My memories will fade, or new memories will come into being. And that proves that this brain is causing it all. No, it doesn't. It doesn't prove that at all. Think about it this way. If you were sleeping and you were dreaming, in fact, you could try to do this tonight. Make this a little experiment for you. See if you can do it. When you're dreaming, cut open your own skull and poke around inside. Take an ice pick and poke around inside your brain. And then notice how that will actually change what you're experiencing. But of course, does that mean that that brain that you're imagining and dreaming in your dream, that it is what's causing the whole dream? Of course not. See? This is where you have to be able to really think outside the box. Think outside of your own paradigm. Otherwise, you get stuck in it. And you keep insisting that, no, Leo, it's got to be inside. There has to be a brain because a dream is only a thing that can occur in a brain. No, that's something you've just assumed up to now. I'm asking you now to really think it through. Think through the circularity of that. put it to empirical investigation. Also notice about your dreams that physics, logic, causality, and time and space, all of these are distorted, depending on what kind of dream you're dreaming. So a lot of times, scientifically minded people, rationally minded people, will like to say, oh, Leo, but the most certain things we know about reality are physics, and logic, and causality, and time, and space, all the hard scientific stuff. Oh yeah? But does that stuff apply to your dreams? No, Leo, it doesn't apply to my dreams, but that's just because they're fantasies. I'm talking about reality. No, what you're talking about is the rule set of this particular dream. So of course, in this particular dream that we call the physical universe, there is a certain kind of physics, certain kind of gravity, certain kind of logic, and this kind of stuff, and it's pretty consistent, pretty stable. That's what defines our dream, is how consistent and stable it is. You can't just imagine gravity to reverse itself, and then cups start flying up, and your cat flies up, and your dog flies up. It doesn't work like that. In your dreaming, sleeping dream, you might be able to do that. But see, science is very tricky, because science loves to claim that it makes universal discoveries, universal laws that apply everywhere in the universe. No, they don't. They only apply within the dream, which is easily proven to yourself by going to sleep at night and noticing that the physics, the logic, the causality, the time, and the science inside those dreams is different. Of course, because it's a different rule set. All that science does is it just studies the patterns occurring within one bubble, within one dream. You switch dreams, now science changes. You can do science inside your sleeping dreams. It'll be a different kind of science. But it's still science. But of course, science is very reluctant to admit this, because this throws the whole paradigm into question. The universality of science gets eroded when this sort of consideration is taken seriously. That's why science cannot take dreams seriously. It's got to classify them as fantasies or hallucinations or illusions. But of course, that's just the sleight of hand that it plays. Also notice about your dreams that they feel very serious, oftentimes, and many times they're life and death. Just like this waking dream. Also notice that you have very strong emotions within your sleeping dreams, just like in the waking dream. Also notice that you play different characters within your sleeping dreams. You might be interacting with your mom and your dad and your brother and your sister and your coworkers and your spouse and other strangers and bears and animals and aliens and all sorts of stuff inside your sleeping dream. But what are they all? They're all you. Just your mind is sort of splitting itself off and then playing this drama by taking on different roles. The bear attacking you in that dream, it's you. It's not other than you. But then when you come out of that dream, you wake up, you come here to this waking dream. When you're interacting with human beings and animals here, especially when you're threatened, are you still aware that all of these are you? No, of course not. Of course not. Because the only time you're aware that all of these things are you is only after you wake up. The only time you're aware that all the people in your sleeping dreams are actually you is only after you've woken up and you've had some time to reflect on it. When you're inside the sleeping dream and a bear is attacking you, you're not sitting there and thinking, oh, well, but this is a dream, so I don't need to defend myself. I don't need to go for the gun. I don't need to worry about anything. And in fact, that bear is me. That gun is me. This whole world is me. I'm dreaming it all up. No, that takes consciousness. You can only do that when you're conscious. Which, of course, you're not. You're stuck in the dream. That's what it means to be a dreamer. If you were conscious, you would be awake. And then the dream would disappear. That's exactly what's going on here. We're just talking about a second or a third level here. So you got the dreaming, the sleeping dreams here, then waking reality here. Then you've got the next level above that. That's what we're talking about. Also notice that within your sleeping dreams, they have narrative arcs. They're always story-based. It's always a sequence of events that happened to you. Just like ordinary life. Doesn't that make you suspicious about ordinary life? All these similarities, you're noticing all these similarities, should start to make you very suspicious. I want you to ask yourself the next time you wake up from a sleeping dream, and it was a nice juicy one that really got you absorbed into it. As soon as you wake up, before you even get out of bed, I want you to ask yourself, what's the ontological status of that dream that just happened? What was the dream made out of? And where did that stuff go? And do not fall into the trick of thinking that, oh, well, it was just all happening in my brain. That's a cop-out. That's not what was actually happening. You have no direct experience of a brain. You never have, and you never will. Think about that. Stop thinking of dreams merely as dreams. Dreams are the only reality that there is. That's just what reality is. I know it's kind of mind-bending and it's a little difficult to get to adjust to it. But, you know, you start to think along these routes long enough, you start to question and contemplate and meditate and all that, and then it becomes like second nature. After a while, you reach a point where you're walking down the street, you're seeing a dog, you're seeing a cat, you're seeing a car crash, you're seeing crazy stuff on politics, and you remind yourself, oh yeah, I'm inside of a dream right now. This is a dream. I'm talking to you from a dream. You're watching me on a computer. It's a dream computer running dream software, dream internet, dream human society. You're dreaming that you're in the 21st century. You're dreaming that you're part of your country and your nation and you're part of this physical universe, this big bang that happened 14 billion years ago with evolution. This is all a dream. Science is all a dream. All scientific discoveries are dream phenomena. You're studying the internal mechanics of the dream. That's what science is. That's why science is fundamentally limited, because you can be a brilliant scientist and you can study the internal mechanics of any dream to death. For hundreds of years, for thousands of years, you could do all this study, but you still will not understand that all of this is just happening within a dream. You see, that requires something different than science. That requires a shift in consciousness. In the same way that if you're sleeping and you're dreaming, you can imagine that you're some famous scientist inside of your dream doing some sort of important work. And you can take that very seriously in your dream. And then you wake up and you discover, oh, shit. Why was I doing science in that dream? All of that, I mean, it made sense within the context of the dream. It made sense because, like, I needed to feed my family. I was curious in science. It was important for me to discover the internal mechanics of that dream. I made some important discoveries there about gravity or about quantum mechanics or whatever, you know, that was going on in that dream. But now I've awoken, and now none of that stuff matters anymore. And that's precisely how it is here in the real world. The real world, as we call it. The only kind of reality there could be is dreams. It's just a question of how convincing is the dream. And what tricks people so much is that this waking dream is so convincing with all of its emotions and all of its titillations and desires and fears and all this. It's so juicy. It's so consistent too, that it completely fools you. The mistake people make is they underestimate reality. They underestimate the power of dreams. They think that dreams are just something like, oh yeah, I could easily see through a dream. But you know in your direct experience that you can't see through a dream easily. Which is why you get tricked over and over and over again when you find yourself sleeping in your bed. How many times have you dreamed in your bed in your entire life? Thousands, right? Almost every night. Maybe you don't remember it all the time, but still thousands of times. Thousands of times you've been tricked. You've awoken. You said, oh my God, why was I so scared? Why was I so emotional in that dream? You would think that you would be able to learn your lesson and be like, okay, that's it. This is the last time I'm getting tricked. My mind is never going to trick me again. But then what happens? Next night you go to sleep again and it happens again. That shows you the power of dreams. But still, that's only the tip of the iceberg of the power of dreams, because you can only really appreciate the power of dreams not when you awaken from your sleeping dreams, but when you awaken from this dream, the waking dream. That's when you get a real taste of the power of the mind and the power of dreams, because then you're like, holy fuck, all of reality had me so fooled, but I have awoken from it. And that's what's possible. And that's why I'm talking about this topic at all in the first place. Not because this is some philosophy. I'm not some solipsist or some nihilist or some idealist who's trying to present some sort of clever philosophy that I invented for you because I think it's cool. I'm talking about the real possibility of waking up from this dream. That's possible. I've done it. Other people have done it. You can do it. It's quite amazing. It's sort of the whole point of life, is to be inside these dreams and realize you're inside of them, and then to see, God damn, that's amazing. It's amazing what this dreamscape machine is. It just manufactures dreams forever to infinity. That's what's so amazing about it. And it's possible for you to wake up. But there's a catch. The catch is, what I call waking up, you call death. Literally, not figuratively, actually. Because you see, actually is only defined within this dream. That's what actually means. Actually means this dream, not some other dream. So you really don't want to exit this dream. You call that death. You spend most of your time avoiding exiting this dream, which is why it's so hard to awaken. And why do they call it awakening? Which I actually think is a better word than enlightenment. It really feels like awakening more than it does like enlightenment. It feels like you're waking up from life. That's possible. Put your attention right now on the fact that you are inside of a dream. This right here, all of this is a dream. I'm talking to you from inside the dream. I am you, telling you about the fact that you're stuck in a dream. Do you get it? Do you get it? Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. You can wake up. Hello in there. Wake up. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Wake up. You can wake up. You're inside of a dream. This is a dream. Your whole life is a dream. Wake up. That's actually possible. You can actually wake up. Can you fathom the significance of that? We're talking about transcending your entire existence. Do you realize how significant that is? Drop your petty problems, drop your problems about women or about men or about politics or about science or about money problems or emotional. Drop all that shit. That's inside the dream. You can transcend that. You can exit the whole dream. It's like people hear this, but they still don't get it. They still think I'm just like being metaphorical. or I'm just being cute, or I'm just being dramatic or bombastic or exaggerating or whatever, or this is just a philosophy. This is not a philosophy. You can actually wake up. How do you wake up? By questioning the dream to death. By questioning death, and by actually turning yourself into what you consider death. Death of the self. To discover what lies on the other side. And how do you do that? Well, through meditation, through yoga, through self-inquiry, through neti-neti method, through just sitting in silence, do-nothing meditation, through psychedelics. There's a lot of different ways. Or a combination of all those above, you know, and many other techniques like that. That's what spirituality is about. What is spirituality in a nutshell? It's about waking up from the dream called life and seeing what lies on the other side. The problem is that most people are so stuck in the materialist paradigm, they think that that's impossible. There's no way that could be possible. Yes, you're right, if the materialist paradigm is right, but the materialist paradigm is not right, which you will discover by questioning it to death. And the biggest obstacle that's really preventing you from waking up is the materialist paradigm. You really, really believe that there's such a thing as an external physical universe, external physical world, a brain, or some matrix simulation or something like that, because that's what your culture has led you to believe. And that's what you need to start to question. All right, I'm done here. Please click the like button for me. Share this episode with a friend and come check out actualize.org. Right there, my website. I got a blog. There's the forum. There's the life purpose course. There's the book list, which will help you wrap your mind around some of these mind-bending concepts. And lastly, just stay around. Stick with me as I share more techniques and ways of breaking this illusion called reality. To me, this is the coolest thing about reality, is that you get to explore what reality is. It's amazing. The mechanics of it, it's so ingenious. The way that it works, it's amazing to make all these little insights about, oh, this and this and that, and how do I trick myself there, and why do people get wrapped up in these illusions and this and that? And as it turns out, the more you become conscious of the fact that reality is a dream, the easier your life becomes, the more effortless, the more magical, the more carefree, the more satisfying, the more blissful. Why? Because when you are inside of a dream, which you know for sure is a dream, you don't take it seriously anymore. It's hard to bother you when you're lucid, when you know the bear attacking you isn't a real bear. And even if it eats you, so what? It's not a problem. But you see, you can't think that way so long as you're buying into the fact that this is not a dream. So stick around for more episodes about that.